segment here with 7 o'clock hour here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well. 913-586-7965. Hey, man. All-star break, home run derby tonight, all-star game tomorrow night.
I have this weird feeling that, like, the big dumper is going to not do good tonight. Cal Raleigh. For those of you who don't know, he's the big dumper. And they're also selling onesies in the Mariner store that say big dumper on them.
Nice.
I think they're fantastic, right? I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of hype around this guy. I feel like he's the one that everybody other than Atlanta wants to see win this thing. And I just feel like he's not going to show. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on this guy. He's challenging for 70 now, guys. He's doing things that Judge and Bonds haven't done before the All-Star break and whatnot. Like, there's a lot of pressure on Cal Raleigh. And when you play in Seattle, ain't no pressure on you up there. Nobody knows what's going on up there, right? People aren't watching every game. The bright lights are going to be on tonight. And as you mentioned earlier, which I think was a good point, where Bobby said he was exhausted, you know, after last year's home run derby. I don't know. I just feel like Cal Raleigh is not going to be the guy that goes out there and wins this thing tonight. That just could be me, but, you know, I don't know who I'm taking yet.
Cal Raleigh plus 295, O'Neill Cruz plus 330. My guy, James Wood, that's who I think is going to win.
You like him, don't you? Yeah.
Plus 450, just long, lengthy, natural power. Matt Olson, who will be the hometown favorite, plus 800. Brent Rooker, your guy, plus 850. Byron Buxton, plus 950. Jazz Chisholm, Max guy, plus 1100, and then Junior Camarino plus 1200.
So it's interesting when you look on the underdog app and they got round one home runs, right? Cal Raleigh 21.5. Are you going higher or lower than 21.5 round one home runs?
Higher. I think he puts on a show in the first round, wears himself out, and then he's done.
Okay.
Second.
So James Wood 20.5
over
O'Neill Cruz. Now this is what's interesting to me. He's a 21.5 too. The same number as the big dumper. So you going over or under with O'Neill Cruz? Because I kind of like him. Olson, 19.5. Jazz, 17.5. Camarino, 18.5. Brent Rooker, 18.5. And Buxton at 18.5.
Buxton could go over. I think Buxton's got a nice natural swing. O'Neill Cruz, though, man, that guy, he's got a ferocious swing. So he might wear himself out. But then again, Cal Raleigh might go out there and hit four home runs and be like, wow, the favorite, like you said, falls flat.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. The numbers are really good when it comes to those first-round numbers. I'd like to look at what the average kind of first round is, you know, over the course of time, and it's probably right there around 18. That's why the numbers are kind of what they are. But you know what? I'm going to root for Brent Rooker tonight, man. The former Royal, you know, guy that was here in Kansas City and went to Oakland. I'm going to go with Brent Rooker. He's the guy that I'm going to ride tonight. That's the guy I'm going to root for.
For him to make the finals is plus 370. So you could, you know, do that bet. Then you could bet him to win it all plus 850. You'd have a pretty nice Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Already going to have one. You can also bet winning nationality on DraftKings.
Oh, that's cool.
United States minus 205. Rest of the world plus 170.
It's a fun bet.
Yeah. You can bet finalist, exact results, yada, 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 totals, like Bob said, and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Total home runs in the Derby, the number, you want to guess what it is?
Total home runs? Mm-hmm. Are we we're talking every round?
Every home run hit total.
Every home run hit total, 225.
Close, 239.5. You can bet the over. That's the one you bet the over under on, because then you have no dog in the fight.
Yeah, you're just
like, what?
Home run.
You
just
want everyone to go yammers.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
would you take the over in that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Just because I want to see action. I don't want to be there and be like, come on, guys. Just fly balls.
Yeah.
You know, like, no homers.
Right. That's true. You're rooting for the home run, obviously, in that scenario.
And then, rooting for Jazz Chisholm to hit the fewest.
Yeah, he will. I think Jazz will be the biggest turd in this one.
He'll be the biggest dumper?
Yeah, he will be, yeah.
You could also take another. Most home runs hit by any player in round one is currently set at 25.5.
Wow.
So if you think somebody could go out there and put a 26 spot up, then...
That seems like a lot, bro, doesn't
that's
it?
That's a lot.
I mean, it really does, and I'm trying to think of what like numbers in years past have been. If you put up like 26 or more in the first round, you pretty much locked up yourself of winning this thing, right? Because it is a cumulative effort, right? Don't they count them all now at the end? So, you hit 26 or more in that first round. That's putting on one hell of a show.
No doubt about it. Put on a show is the NFL Network, because they're doing their top 100. Trey Smith is cracked into this top 100 list. The guy that we just previously talked about with the franchise tag Is there a player in next year's top 100 that you'd like to see make this
list? McDuffie cracked at 81 this week. I don't know if it was last week, this week, next week, however they're doing these lists.
Nixon five.
Yeah, exactly. I next year, I want, because this means the deep ball is back, I want Xavier Worthy to be in this top 100 next year. He, you know, a guy who hasn't been in it, that's what we're kind of looking at. A guy who hasn't appeared in the top 100 that we're ready to be in that top 100. Mm-hmm. For me, it's Xavier Worthy, because that means the deep ball is back. He doesn't get on this list if they're not throwing it deep and making the spectacular play and, you know, everybody having fun like it's, you know, 2018 all over again. So I'm going to go with Xavier Worthy on this one.
Okay. Matt, you got a guy you want to see crack the list?
Yeah, I love it. There's guys that I think are going to crack their list, and there's guys that I think could and would benefit the team more, and that's where I'm going, and that's George Karlaftis. If Karlaftis is a top 100 player, if he is a top, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 pass rusher in the league, I mean, the ceiling of this defense just it goes
to the roof.
Thank you, like Michael Jordan said.
Let me jump in. Is there a chance that the defense is more spectacular than the offense this year?
It's been the case the past two seasons, so yeah, absolutely. I would lean offense this year because I love the wide receiving core. Yeah. And I think the offensive line's going to be better than most people think. And Patrick Mahomes is going to go scorched earth. That's where I'd lean.
Right.
But no, I don't think that'd be a surprise at all. And if Karlaftis is that dude, then yeah, absolutely. Because if Aminihue is going to be what we've seen Aminihue be, which is an above average pass defender, Chris Jones has another year left of being that elite top three player at his position. If Karlaftis becomes, he's been above average. If he becomes really good, you know, a tier two, tier three-ish pass rusher below those Trey Hendrickson, Miles Garrett guys, kind of right below them. Man, this defense is...
Hey, what good man.
But what we...
I haven't even stuttered yet.
What has to happen for... Because he already had double-digit sacks, right?
Two years ago.
Yep. Right? And we didn't even recognize that he had double-digit sacks. It was like one of those, oh yeah, Karlaftis has 10.5 sacks as well. So if he has double-digit sacks, does it have to be mid-double digits, like 12, 13, 14, that kind of range to get on that top 100? Like, what do you think he needs to do to be on that top
100? To get on the top 100, yeah. It's sack numbers. But to get on the top 100, in my eyes, it'd be consistent pressure. Remember last year when we had 2 months where we were saying, hey, where's George Karlaftis?
Yeah.
Where are you, dude? We need you. Charles Minhew's hurt. Chris Jones is doing this all by himself, leading the league in pressure rate. You've got to be there to finish. Chris Jones is making these quarterbacks panic, making them scuffle, making them move, but you've got to get in there and wreak havoc.
Clean up the mess, if you will.
Exactly. If we go 4 weeks without hearing Karlaftis' name, then yeah, that's a huge problem. Consistency for him this year.
Love that.
Who do you want?
Rashee Rice.
Heck yeah.
Not only crack it, but slam dunk it. So Rashee Rice has only started 12 games in his career. He's played in 20. So let's call his 2 years that he's been in the league a full year. Within that full year, he's got 1,200 receiving yards, 11.9 per reception, 9 touchdowns. And he's got 131 targets and 103 receptions. That's pretty crazy.
1,200 yards and almost 12 yards a catch.
That's what he is, man. He's your Yak Daddy, dude.
But seriously, like, find numbers like that that are even that, like, that's weird.
Because last year, he played in the 4 games. He had 29 targets, 24 receptions, 288 yards. That is an even 12 yards per reception. He had 2 touchdowns, 15 first downs. So a 65.5% success rate throwing to number 4. We saw a glimpse. It was taken away. Some friendly fire in that Chargers game. But by gosh, if he can do that in a whole season like we've seen in the 12-game slate that he started, the 20 games that he's played, and averaging 103 receptions, 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns, 59 first downs, I mean, I don't know how to tell you this, how much that opens the door up for Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy, and then you get to see these people like Dan Orlovsky, who did it today, saying Mahomes isn't the best quarterback in football. Dan-o.
Come on, Dan.
Dan-o. And... you know, then all of a sudden it's like, all right, maybe now, and I promise you, and I know we got to get to a break, but I promise you, if Mahomes has a healthy wide receiving core and the offensive line is even just 50% better than it was last year, we'll have the conversation and this will be the narrative. Were we too early to say that he was diminishing his stats ahead of time? Should we have just waited till he had a healthy, and then everybody will come out with that? Well, if you look at the last 2 years, health was an issue in his receiving room. The year before
didn't have this.
And it'll be like, now all of a sudden he's got Rashee Rice, who, by the way, was second in the league in yards in the first 4 weeks behind Nico Collins last year before he got hurt. He was on pace to have one of those years. Mm-hmm. He goes out, you have to lean on a rookie and a veteran tight end. Now you all of a sudden have your tight end who's in his last year 13, his girlfriend's favorite number. Coincidence? I think not. But also now you have him as maybe your fourth option with a guy like Rashee Rice can do that. If Rashee Rice has one of those years, he's going to crack the top 100. He's going to crack top 50, my opinion.
Mm-hmm.